All right. As soon as Mike gets me under control, then I'll So we are continue our series, and there actually will be something up on the screen eventually to fill in the blanks there from your handout. Continuing our series, Christ Soldiers, looking at 7 steps to becoming a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But before I get into that, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day, for the cooler weather, for the rain. Hopefully it will help the fires out. And just thank you for how you provide. It's amazing. You know, in retrospect, we see much more clearly how you take care of us. Help us to remember that as we look forward to things that are coming up, to things in our lives that we know that we can always trust in you. And Father, help us as we look at being soldiers of Christ. If we are a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to be soldiers, to be workers, to be servants, to tell the world about him. And so, Father, help us with that. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to help us walk along the way. As Lynn said this morning, the Holy Spirit being clothed in us, being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, help us to listen when he speaks. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so a little bit of review. So we've already looked at sign up. So that was number one, sign up. And that was accepting Jesus as Savior. So to sign up. It's kind of like, you know, going to the recruiting office and signing up to be part of the military. Can't be part of it unless you sign up first. But there's certain things that come along with that. There's certain expectations that we need to realize, because it says that we're to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not just Savior, but Lord. And with that comes the expectation that we need to obey. We need to have obedience to him. And that Jesus said there will be difficulty in that, that there will be hard things that come along. But also, ultimately, the victory is ours. The next one we looked at, number 2, was show up. You need to show up. In other words, you can't be AWOL. You need to show up. And part of that is then there's training that happens, that we work together. We support one another. We're part of the body of Christ. The Bible says that we're to work together. We're to fit together. All the pieces working together. This morning, we're going to look at step number 3, which is shape up. Probably never heard anybody tell you that, right? Shape up. Or grow up. So the idea of you know, going to boot camp. You wouldn't take somebody who's joining the military and say, okay, the battle's on, go fight. No, there has to be some training first. And so they go to boot camp. And probably a good number of those that go to boot camp really aren't physically fit yet for battle, let alone mentally equipped. And so they're going to work on them physically. They're going to work on them emotionally and mentally to get them to the point where they can go and fight the battle. Bless you. Part of that is, the first blank there is, we need to be maturing. We need to be maturing. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we should be in the process of maturing. And it's gonna happen over the period of our lives. It's not going to be just like one day you're going all of a sudden, oh, I'm mature. Right? I mean, I don't know. Well, I should be careful on that one. Some of us take longer to mature just, you know, in ourselves, let alone spiritually. Becoming mature. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And then down in chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. We need to be moving on. We need to not continually be sucking on the bottle. We need to get to that point where we can cut up our own meat even. We need to be maturing. And it's progressive. It's progressive. It's something that's going to continue to happen till you take your last breath. Part of growing up is submitting. We need to submit to God and do what he says to do. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, Paul speaking to the Corinthians, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, you are fleshly and are not walking like mere men. Paul is encouraging them to get off the milk. Start wrestling with the meat. If you don't wrestle almost on a daily basis with what God tells you, you're missing something. Because there's some hard stuff that God expects us to do. And there's some things in Scripture that, they, from a human standpoint, they don't make sense. They just don't. And that's why he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to have that understanding. Training is part of the maturing process. And training requires some routine. You know, like a daily routine. You know, the person that's trying to build themselves up physically, they deal with it every day. They work on their body every day. We as believers in Jesus Christ should be working on our spiritual lives every day, every single day. Amen. You should be working on it. Ephesians 4, 11, starting in verse 11. God is telling us here that he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. You know who the saints are? The saints are the believers in Jesus Christ. Those are the saints. So he's given these different people to help equip them, us, for the work of service, to build up the body of Christ. It goes on to say in this part, as a result, so in other words, the teaching, the training, getting equipped for service, then it goes on into verse 14, it says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried along by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. There's a lot of junk out there. There's a lot of people who say this, that, or the other thing. There's a lot of religions who say they have the truth. Actually, you know what? Most other religions, they don't say we have the only truth. There's only one that says that. Christianity. One God. Not a bunch of gods. Not a whole bunch of different ways to get to heaven. One way. One God. And the Bible is very clear that it is the only right way. It goes on to say in Ephesians 4, we need to be speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Every single one of us is a piece and a part of the body. And we all have to work together to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. He wants us to work at building His kingdom in this world, growing the kingdom of God. We need to be spiritually fit. We need to be spiritually fit. Paul, in talking to the Corinthians, talked about this idea of running a race. That idea of being physically able to do that. Realizing where you're running to. You know, where's the finish line? Otherwise, you're just out for a jog, right? If you're not headed to the finish line, if you don't know where the finish line is, we need to realize where we're headed, that we're trying to build the kingdom, that we need to exercise self-control in running. I saw Carrie riding her bike by my house yesterday. And then this morning she comes in and has the audacity to say, "Oh yeah, I ran 9 miles already this morning." She does triathlons. You don't think that takes some work, some training? Do you think, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can live in this world without some work, without some training? There's too many things going on out there that try to distract you from what the truth is. We need to realize that we have an enemy that we're battling. We looked at that earlier when we started this section about, you know, it's not against flesh and blood. It's against those spiritual forces. You know, and so it's no wonder when you look around and you think, how can anybody come to that conclusion? How can anybody think a certain way? Because they're being influenced by these spiritual forces, and we need to realize that's what we're battling. We need to be working on the fruit of the Spirit. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? Not a watermelon, not a coconut. In Galatians 5:16, it says, "But we need to walk by the Spirit and not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." Isn't it a battle every day? Yes. Fighting against the flesh. The Spirit and the flesh is just doing this all the time because they're not in agreement with one another. We want to pursue our pleasures and our desires as opposed to pursuing God, pursuing what He wants us to do. Paul goes on to say here in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is, and these are the things we need to be striving for, we need to be training ourselves to be these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And as we become more mature, as we work on our spiritual lives, those things become more evident in our lives. We become less. Christ becomes more. We don't look so much at ourselves and what we want and our selfishness. Part of becoming spiritually fit is knowing God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." God gave us His Word so that we can be equipped. But we need to consistently be reading. We need to be reading God's Word every day. In fact, we need to go beyond just reading God's Word. We should be studying God's Word. We should be really digging in. When we're reading and we come across something that maybe we don't totally get, do you just kind of keep going? Or do you come back to it and start digging into it? Well, what is God really talking about here? What does he really mean here? We need to be in God's Word constantly. Another thing that we need to do to become spiritually fit is we need to pray. We need to have that communication with God. And it needs to be two-way. It needs to be two-way. It's so easy for it to become a one-way conversation. Well, God, I've got my list today, so let me go over my list. Okay, well, bless me, and off you go. As opposed to, you can have your list, but then you need to be listening to what he has to say. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus speaking here, he says, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In other words, get away by yourself. Just you and God. Now, part of the reason he said this was in that day and age, in that culture, the religious leaders, they like to stand out on the corners and pray these big flowery prayers and have people think they were so awesome. And what Jesus is saying here, they've got it all wrong. It needs to be one-on-one, you and God. There doesn't need to be anybody else around. He goes on to say, and probably most of us are very familiar with this section, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, Jesus said his disciples want to know how to pray, and he says, pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we ourselves have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. See how it starts? Our Father who's in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. How many of us start our prayer time by, God, here's what I need. Here's what I want. Here's my list. As opposed to starting out our prayer time in, God, you are holy, holy, holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in my life. We need to spend time with God talking and listening. And we need to apply what we're learning. We need to apply what we see in Scripture. I found it interesting this week. I just finished up reading in Hebrews, and the last chapter of Hebrews I was reading this week, I've never realized before, the last chapter of Hebrews is like application, like the whole chapter. So all the stuff he's been talking about in Hebrews, he gets to the last chapter and says, and here's what you're supposed to do. Here's how you're supposed to live it. And I don't know if it's coincidence or if this really is God's planning, but you know what the next book after Hebrews is? James. I've told you before, that's my favorite book, right? And what is James full of? Application. How you're to live your life. James says, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer who deludes themselves. You know, so don't just read God's word and go, oh, wow, that's really cool stuff. That's awesome. Off on your day. Forgot about everything you just read. You need to do what God says. That's part of that obedience, that self-control. And we need to develop relationships with others. Part of being spiritually fit is having relationship with other believers. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And there's verses in Corinthians, when Paul's talking to the Corinthians about this whole idea of the body and how all the body fits together, the fingers and the toes and the joints, that we need to be part of each other's lives. We need to make time with others. We need to minister with others. Because it's part of the body. It's part of the body of Christ. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." We don't have to do it on our own power. Thank God we don't have to do it on our own power. But we can do it in His strength. We can do it by following the Holy Spirit. You don't have to rely on yourself, on what you know, and what you can or can't do. You know, when you're having a conversation with somebody that's not a believer, and it turns maybe to turns a spiritual corner, and they start maybe asking you some things that you don't know, you know it's all right to say, "I don't know. I'll look into that and get back to you." Because sometimes they ask really good questions. Sometimes things that we haven't necessarily thought about for years. Some of us have been Christians longer than we weren't. And we sometimes can live in our little Christian bubble and forget what it's like for people out in the world and the stuff that they're dealing with and the questions they might have and realizing all this stuff that they're hearing. And they have no standard. You know, when we hear stuff out in the world, we have a standard we can go by. We have God's Word, and God's Word says X. So when we hear this, we're going, no, that doesn't line up with God's Word. People out in the world that don't have Jesus, when they hear this stuff, they're going, oh, okay, that must be all right because that person is saying it. Oh, the science says this? Oh, that politician said that? Hopefully most people realize that. Take those with a grain of salt. You know, but we have a standard. I mean, think of how confusing it is to live in a world where there more and more and more there's becoming less and less and less of a standard. I mean, talk about confusion. You know, no wonder people are confused about whether they're even male or female, which to us seems like that should be real obvious. I mean, yeah, you may have certain feelings, but physically, I just read a thing this week. Guy walks into the emergency room complaining of abdominal pain. And they're you know, checking him out, doing this. Well, come to find out, he is pregnant. They didn't know it. Evidently, the person didn't know it. So the baby ends up being stillborn because they didn't do all the procedures they needed to do. And you just think, wow, talk about a messed up world. You know, I've heard stories before about women that they give birth and didn't realize they were pregnant. I mean, I guess it happens. But yeah, just, you know, and they didn't bother to say, oh, by the way, I'm transgender or quad gender, or, I mean, whatever the term is they want to use. They didn't bother to even tell them that. It's just, oh, I've got these abdominal pain. And so the hospital felt horrible because probably they could have saved the baby if they had known that's what was going on. Just crazy, crazy world. Thank God we have a standard. Thank God we can go to God's Word and say, here's what's true, here's what's real. And that when we get into those discussions with people, we can say, this isn't what I'm saying, this is what God says. He still loves you. He still loves people, even though they're mixed up and don't understand and they're thinking different things. He still loves them. But there's just a real lack of understanding. And why is it? Because we're fighting against the spiritual forces that come in and they deceive people. They whisper in their ear and they say, no, this is okay, this is all right, when it's not. So we need to make sure that we're physically and spiritually fit, that we're maturing in Jesus Christ, that we're shaping up, that we're growing up. Next week, we're going to look at suiting up. We're going to suit up, putting on the full armor of God and what all that entails. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we do have a standard that we can live by, that we don't have to live in this world being confused about what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false, that we can go to your word and have that understanding. And if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit within us helping us to understand. That when we hear certain things, the Holy Spirit is going, that's not true. That's not right. Or if we have the feeling of, wow, I just don't know, then we can go to your word and we can dig in and we can find out. We can go to other people. We can go to other believers and ask them, what do you think about this? What does God say about this? I'm confused. I don't totally understand. We need to help out one another. We need to be growing. We need to be maturing in our faith. Father, thank you that you sent your Son to die for us, to pay the penalty for sin, and that you do love everybody, but not everybody gets you. Not everybody is going to accept you. And a lot of it just stems from selfishness. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, with whoever I want to do. Oh, Father, help us to live as warriors of Jesus Christ, fit for battle. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have lunch downstairs, and you're all invited to come on down and have some food. And so actually, let me pray for the food before we head that direction. Father God, I thank you for the food that's been provided here today. Thank you for all those that can come and participate. It's a good place for us just to be with one another and have conversations with one another over a meal. I just thank you for those that have worked hard to make this happen. Pray that you would bless this food to our bodies, that it would nourish and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. See you downstairs.